Hello and welcome to the new series of the Wildlife Community Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie, and I'm so excited to have the chance to bring you conversations with great guests who are passionate about connecting people and nature. Join me as we delve into discussions about wildlife, share top tips, and inspire you to transform your local areas into thriving natural havens, and, of course, helping you to make your space a wild one. Welcome to the third and final episode live from Global Bird Fair. I know I say every episode is my favourite, but this one was just such a lovely, warm and passionate conversation about a genuine shared love for nature. I won't give too much away before you listen, but today's guests are Ario and Axel Drioli, who together are quite literally going global with an immersive birding experience like no other. I'm sure you're excited to hear more, so let's get straight to it. Come with me one last time this year to Global Bird Fair. Hello and welcome to the Wildlife Community Podcast. I don't know why I'm speaking to the audience because there's no one there because the rains have just completely, you can probably hear them as background noise. We are recording live from the Global Bird Fest. Unfortunately, the weather has scuppered a few of our plans, but we won't let that stop us. We've got our wellies on and it's going well. I am here with Axel and Ario Drioli. Sorry for my English accent.
You're right.
From Sounding Wild, and you have a stand. This won't mean anything to the audience listening back, but you have a stand in the Swallow Marquee. And I'm not going to start with that. I want to start by talking about your journeys and how you came to be involved in nature. So, is it a thing that you've done since you were children, or is it something that's come to you later in life? So, I don't know who wants to go first. Yeah.
Please, Axel.
in our hometown in Trieste, northeast Italy, we've always had a garden at home, but we've never been really connected to nature. You know, yeah. We've been out there playing games, you know, but never really looking at birds. Yeah. And then teenagehood arrived. We started, you know, getting interested in electronic music, going partying. You know, you forget about nature really because you start socializing. Yeah. And then I moved to London when I was 23 to become a famous DJ.
How's that going?
Well, I'm a wildlife sound recordist, traveling now. The DJ making is in the progress. Don't worry. You're gonna hear something soon. While I was working as a sound engineer, I started going out and recording soundscapes. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Yeah. That's really cool. It makes sense recording soundscapes. And from there, I just reconnected. So it's been 8 years now that I've started, you know, since I started getting re-interested into nature and learning about it. Yeah. Funny thing is, like, I don't know any name of birds in Italian. I only know in English because I learned everything here. Yeah. So yeah.
Well, I lived in our hometown for school, and then when I went for university near Milan in Brescia, for graphic design, I started socializing even more with people in cities and going here and there, but always city in urban environments, in concrete jungles. Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, we almost at the same time, me and Axel, we heard this call from nature, because doing stuff that is meaningless is not that good. You want to go in nature and do stuff that is good for the nature and the world in general. Yeah. So I moved in 2020 in London to start to do a big project with Axel, yeah, that gave us a few years of money to go and to do this project.
Yeah. Mm. And that leads, it sounds like we planned this, but I promise we didn't. That leads perfectly into the project. So thank you for that. You're doing my job for me and it's perfect. So Sounding Wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go. What is it?
Well, Sounding Wild is our production brand where we want to create immersive experiences for people to reconnect to nature, to help to inspire them. Like, we've been inspired by our technologies our practices inspire other people, mm-hmm, to connect to nature. So we decided to start. Oh, that's lovely soundscape.
That's big rain.
Yes, big rain. We wanted to travel. And we wanted to explore different ambient and different habitats and different birds. Yeah. we wanted to travel down to the west coast of Africa, and we decided to follow the bird migration. Mm-hmm. But also, one thing, we've been documentary filmmakers for quite a while, and one thing that always happens is that we get sent somewhere, take the stories from anywhere in the world, bring them back, in this case the UK, because we've been based here, and show only the stories here, but the local people will never see anything.
Yeah.
So we're like, how can we bring something special, not just like a TV screen, or like, which is still good, but we wanted to bring something really special to everyone and engage with people and collaborate with people locally. So we decided to create this Wings Across Continents project, which is a 1.5 years expedition following the bird migration through the coast of west coast of Europe and Africa.
Yeah.
And every month we stop at a different migration hotspot, and we create a virtual reality experience for the local community, communities, telling the stories of local migratory birds.
Yeah.
And we started in February 2023 from south of Spain, came back up north for 6 months, stopped 4 times. And in September 2023, we started down the west coast of Africa from Morocco.
Wow. Well, I mean, I haven't tried it, but my kids came and tried it earlier. And from their reactions, I'm guessing it was pretty cool. I mean, from their reactions, you'd think that it was like a VR immersive like space launch or something.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I guess that's the reaction you want from it. But Ario, what's the reaction been like from people when you've taken it to different communities?
It's really positive because people usually in our target audience is not the birders, but there is normal people that is not really into birds or into nature. They think that being in a grassland is nature, but instead you need to think about more about the environment and all the birds that they're living there and all the mammals. And what is happening is when they go inside of our experience and they see the three virtual screens with the pictures, video, sound, the link with the audio.
Yeah.
And then also after that you have a 360 video link with sound and you're literally in situation in another moment, you will see different way, you see differently nature from that point.
Yeah.
Literally having a hint of the bird that you will see when you go outside.
Yeah. Well, that I mean, that's really amazing. Nice. I mean, I never call myself a birder because I'm just, I suppose I'm quite new to it. It's something that came to my life at a time when I was sort of struggling a bit with mental health, and I kind of reconnect with nature. Like you said, you kind of have this nature in your life as a kid, and then when you hit teenage years, quite often it falls to the back. It's background noise. I mean, I've got a few, I can pick out a few, I call them bird stories from when I was like 18, 19, but it's kind of like one incident and one, like, not incident, but you know, like one experience. And then that's kind of it. Whereas now, every single day, when I go outside, I'm looking around me wherever I do. I'm a terrible driver now because I'm always like, red kite. But as soon as you start seeing one, you kind of start seeing everything.
All
and then
of them,
then
yeah.
I mean, we were talking to someone, it was Nick Baker on this podcast actually yesterday. We were talking to him and he was saying that if you like birds, then you kind of by default then have to be interested in the bugs because they feed the birds, and then you get interested in the plants, and it's like a chain.
Yeah. So it's a rabbit dangerous. Hole.
Yeah, it's dangerous. It's like dead scrolling on Instagram or something. Once you're there, you're kind of like sucked into it.
Yeah.
So has it changed the way you view the world in that way?
Completely.
Oh my goodness, yes. I mean, just thinking about when you go to the countryside and look at green to the other green, like we're talking about, you know, farmland green to native forest green.
Yeah.
Learning what biodiversity means, which we'd call it health. You know, for people, it's difficult to understand sometimes like what biodiversity means. Just say like a healthy environment when there is high biodiversity. But yeah, it definitely changed the perspective of how we feel, what we hear and what we see. Definitely, 100%.
Yeah.
Mind-blowing experience over the last, 8 years.
It's changing also the way of when we go to cities back, and you kind of like feel a bit compressed, a bit more stressed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you go in later, you literally have a big breath, and you literally feel a bit of freedom from that.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we feel, you know, when you are a kid, as you said earlier, when you were a kid, you have some sort of like connection with nature, you know, they teach you school nature, but then you have this teenagehood that you most of the time lose it. I remember when I was passing by going to parties on Saturday night, I would pass a nature reserve where I visited when I was in primary school. Mm-hmm. And I still remember, Isla de la Cona is called. And I still remember that I was looking at that sign. And I was like, oh, one day I'm going to go there. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go partying now.
Yeah.
And then I went back a few years ago and I'm like, why didn't I come here before? Mm-hmm. Obviously because it's social pressure and stuff like that. No, but then when we were in our 20s, that's when it kick-started again.
Yeah.
So we want to, you know, we want to inspire people of our generation, or you know, between 20 and 30 is really our main audience now. We're focusing on just like kickstart that process again, mm-hmm. Of noticing.
Yeah, that's a key thing. I always say that noticing nature is just like the key to like feeling more positive about yourself, feeling more positive about the world around, and sort of making you, inspiring you to make a positive change like in your community. And I suppose that leads back to the podcast, which is obviously the wildlife community. Our thing is all about connecting people with nature. That's our tagline. So I'm really keen to know, you've obviously taken this to different countries. I can talk about connection with nature in the UK. You know, there's huge statistics that I can't pull out the top of my head about the amount of kids who have never seen the sea, mm-hmm. or the amount of kids that can't name a blackbird or a starling, and that, you know, these kinds of things. But is that, have you found the same in different countries?
It's sort of the same thing everywhere. It's literally when you are used to your city, you don't think about anything else.
Yeah.
You think about, I need to do this, I need to do that, but always in city environments or villages environment that constrict you to stay inside of four walls and not going around, not even think about taking your shoes off and go in a grassland with your barefoot. It's a lot of I heard one, I talked with one person a few weeks ago, and the girl said, I do bird tours around, natural tours, and a lot of people with families, and a lot of kids, they never walked in the river barefoot. It is something that, I mean, it's feeling nature's where we are coming from, but we just hide it with these four walls and screens.
It's hard. I mean, like, I don't live in a city area. I'm lucky. I live on sort of the North Norfolk coast, which is one of the best places in the UK for biodiversity and nature. Mm. And there's kids in my kids' school who, when I stand in the playground and I'm like, oh, look, a house martin nest, and oh, look, the swallows are going over and stuff, and the kids are so engaged, but they've never noticed them before. And that's living really rurally. I mean, like, we're 45 minutes from the nearest big town and city. So we're well placed for nature. But that shocked me when I moved there, that there wasn't just this automatic connection with nature. But then I suppose it comes down to your parents, I guess. If your parents are interested in it, then automatically, you know, my kids are being brainwashed every day. I'm like, look, grass, isn't it cool? And then they're automatically like it. And I suppose it's that. So are you planning on taking this to the younger generations? I know you said you're targeting it like some our age group, but are you... Yeah. What's the plan?
Well, so far we planned this age group just because of our own interest, really. But we've been asked a lot to take it to schools. Yeah. So it's a matter of changing a little bit the story that we created for these experiences and make it more like kids friendly.
Yeah.
And so far we haven't done it because we were always tight with times. Mm-hmm. But it's our aim now that we're going to West Coast of Africa, just try and do it also there.
Yeah.
It's a different experience for the younger generations.
Mm-hmm.
Just to show them, technology is not about being somewhere and stay there and be addicted to it, but actually you use it to learn something and then go out and experience real life.
Absolutely. I mean, I wrote an article, it was last year now, for one of the BTO's members magazines, and it was about how a lot of conversations I have are very much sort of, you know, more traditional birders who will kind of demonize technology and say, oh, the kids on the phones, and, you know, like, if I walk, I've had people walk past me on a nature reserve when I've been on my phone literally looking at the Merlin app doing the bird song, and they've gone, oh, kids always on their phone, like, they're walking past, and I'm like, one, I'm 30. Normally I have two kids. And two, I'm using it to connect with nature. And I think it's so important to, you know, it's obvious here when we walk around, there's so many different new ways of technological methods of connecting with nature that are coming out. So do you have like a hope that yours will become more widespread, or like, will this immersive experience become more of a thing?
Yeah, we would love to have this experience this experience more widely spread. We want to do this this exploration of West Coast of Africa. So at certain point, you can also do in different bird centers also the choosing where you want to go in the old West Coast. Yeah. So you can choose literally to go in Senegal or in Germany,
yeah,
or you can go whatever you want. So for that reason, you can go there and expect something that even the younger generation can do, and also the older generation can also do and appreciate it.
And it's about the connection also between different cultures.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, when you go to different boundaries. Places, you know, we are all in this, living on the same planet.
Yeah.
So why do we have to be so... We are culturally different. We have many different things going on in our different ways of living between different continents or countries.
Yeah.
But in the end, these birds, they are all going to the same places,
mm-hmm,
and they all connect us in a way or another. So definitely, we're trying to find an artistic way.
Yeah.
To show it to people, to show that, you know, that beautiful story of, mm-hmm, incredible story of migration, and yeah, you know, at least in this case, but then we'll see how it's gonna go.
See what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, someone once described birds to me as a gateway to nature.
Mm.
And I think that's I thought, mm-hmm, that was really beautifully put, because it's true. I mean, like, you can sit anywhere. I mean, urban areas are great for wildlife spotting.
Yes.
I mean, you can sit outside a coffee shop and there'll be a pigeon. And I know people, like, you know, people bad talk pigeons, but I love them. I think they're brilliant.
Yeah.
And, you know, but just having that connection, or a gull that's like trying to steal your chips is like, it's still, there's wildlife everywhere to be seen,
yeah,
if people just look for it. I mean, I shamed a man the other day into giving a gull a chip, because he was, we were sat on the coast, on the wall, having some chips, and this guy sort of like kicked out of the gull, and I started, you know, I was like really passive aggressive to the kids, like, oh, look, oh, they're an endangered bird, they're on the, you know, they're all this kind of these things, and you could hear the guy like listening to me,
mm-hmm,
and yeah, I was just telling the kids all about herring gulls, and then I just like saw him like throw a chip at the gull, and I was like, and there
you go. Well,
well
done.
He heard
me.
Oh
my God.
So that was fun. But I can see your thing, like, it would work really well, even just in the UK. Like, you're saying you can see, go out and see the world for your immersive experience, and that's incredible. But there's so much available, like, here. Like, I can imagine if you did a journey up and down the UK,
mm-hmm,
filming our birds here, then that would be incredible to take, mm-hmm, to nature reserves and schools.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
It is something that we've been asked for also now all the last days here. Yeah. The Global Bird Fair has been amazing. I mean, the vibes are super good, energy is incredible, and people are really inspired. And it's a constant brainstorming also. Mm-hmm. Which is great.
It's brilliant.
So I think it's going to happen, definitely.
Looking forward to seeing like how it goes. Is this your first bird fair?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
Forever.
So how have you found it overall? Like, it's interesting.
It's amazing.
Amazing. And it's nice to be with people, you know, they are like minded, and you know, and just like get the positive energy. You know, when you do your own project, sometimes you have ups and downs, and you sometimes don't know if you're going the right way.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're here, you sort of like feel that actually you are in the right place. You're doing it right, and you need to share more that energy and the love and enthusiasm. So it's brilliant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if we can just quickly, I don't know how much time we've got left, Oscar, sorry, I'll edit this bit out, but
you've got time.
Okay, because I started this late, so I'm just going by this now. Obviously we're talking about community and how we engage our communities and stuff, but aside, putting your project aside, how, this is a really big question, but like, how do you think we can spread the love of nature to a wider audience and keep talking to people? Is it just a case of having conversations, or is it a case of spreading enthusiasm, or how do you do it, like, with your circles, I guess?
Positive messages, beautiful, get wowed by things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We are, obviously there are negative things that happen in our, you know, on Earth, and, you know, they need to be, at some point people know about them, but the connection comes from beauty, from love, from when you feel connected. And I think sharing, it's cool sharing the wildlife experiences, but sharing a human connection towards wildlife to the other people, that's what we see also now, you know, on TV, or like the stories that work, that when someone is there and is telling, I'm connected to that animal, the reasons why, and then people connect more. And I think that there is the need of that, you know. Digital online is amazing, but the face-to-face, that's so powerful. Obviously, we are humans. We like to be together in the same place.
Yeah.
So I think that, sharing the knowledge.
Sharing and talking with people is crucial for for saying good words about the nature and how to behave and what to do and how to recognize birds, for example. But literally, what is better to do in every way is literally talking. That's it.
And I think that the appreciation, as you said, the appreciation of your local wildlife, yeah. because we can't traveling thousands of kilometers to see a bird, a rare bird, some people will do it, but or some, see some animals, mm-hmm. or like the idea of nature being pristine yeah. doesn't exist anymore. It's not that available, really. It exists, but it's not that available. Yeah. But wildlife is everywhere, and we are able to just like see it, even in the city.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of noticing wherever we go. Just notice that bird, that mm-hmm. robin, is doing that thing.
Yeah,
that's the key aspect, I think. Wherever we are,
mm-hmm.
That's important.
Yeah, and I suppose that's you've cleverly tapped into that exactly what you've just said is that immersive experience. That, you know, there's what better way to be able to show people not only what's around the world, but I suppose there will be people, I guess, that you go to, that you take this immersive experience that maybe have never seen. I don't know, I'm thinking of something. There was a lesser kestrel, wasn't there, in your
yeah.
in your immersive mm-hmm. experience. They've probably never even heard of one of those or seen mm-hmm. one, and maybe they can't physically get there, or
yeah.
they don't have the finances to go to wherever these birds are. So yeah. to be able to bring these birds that are sort of local to them,
yeah, absolutely.
But show them, then yeah. maybe that would inspire them to get out and actually see them.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well,
exactly.
There are many situations where people cannot go somewhere mm. for many reasons.
Yeah.
So that's another way where, you know, virtual reality is used. But that's sort of like the way they've been used to.
Mm.
But we can do both. We can literally create these two connections and maybe even use technology to connect these two groups of people together yeah. more. It's about, I think technology is great.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't hate technology. We can't because it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And if we hate it, it's not the right approach.
Yeah.
We need to use it cleverly to connect with other people.
I mean, it's there. We have like the whole world of knowledge on at our fingertips.
Yeah.
You know, so it's there. We should use it.
Exactly.
I think for a more, to we're coming to an end, but I think to end on a more personal note, I'd like to hear more about your experiences. And like, obviously you're going up and down Africa now. This is going to, I'm really excited to follow your journey now. I'm really excited. I'm really jealous. But is there something that you're looking forward to seeing, or something that you're looking for, a place that you're like, oh my God, I can't wait to go, or?
Can't wait to be in Senegal.
Okay.
I never been out of Europe.
Okay.
And this will be a massive change in my life.
Mm.
And but I heard only good things. Not that all the other places in the middle mm. or further is they are not yeah. good, but still I had so many stories about. I heard so many stories about Senegal in a good
yeah.
way, and I would love to be there mm-hmm. immediately. Like,
yeah.
Well, it would be amazing.
Exciting. I
yeah.
look forward to seeing the updates
yeah.
from Senegal.
Yeah.
Exactly. Thank you.
I want to meet the migratory birds down there in Africa while they're wintering and hearing them there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
oh, yeah.
What are you saying, guys?
Different.
How are you singing?
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I'm really curious.
Yeah.
I've been to Africa, but for other reasons, not for this sort of project. So
yeah.
I'm really curious of hearing that
yeah.
and hearing how they're behaving. Yeah.
I suppose that'd be amazing to see a swallow, say, like in Norfolk where I live,
exactly.
and then go and see it in Africa exactly. after
yes.
its flown, or a swift who
yeah.
hasn't landed for years, like a fledgling, you know, like
yeah.
a young a swift that hasn't landed for 2 years, go
yeah.
and see it in its other
in
environment. I guess that would
yeah.
be amazing. I know someone that did it with pink-footed geese up in the Arctic,
yeah.
sort of followed them and came, you know, in the Arctic and then saw them in Norfolk again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's absolutely amazing. But I think we're coming to an end. I just want to say thank you.
Thank you so
much.
And I'm so excited to follow the journey of where you go, because I just think it's going to be really, I think you're like at the beginning of something amazing. But if people want to find out more about you, how do they do it?
We are on all social medias at Sounding Wild. We have our website.
Soundingwild.com, Sounding Wild, Instagram, Facebook,
Twitter.
We have also TikTok.
Yes. Also threads.
Also threads.
Yeah.
We've got everything.
Very modern.
I know, right? We are trying
to be but yeah, just, yeah.
Yeah.
No worries. Well, thank you so much. And I hope you enjoyed the, I suppose there's only a few hours left, but
yeah.
I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Are we done? Nice.
Yes.
So despite the big rain that was hammering on the roof, I'm sure you will agree that that was such a beautiful conversation, and Sounding Wild is such an exciting project. I am passionate about widening accessibility to the natural world, so it was incredible to hear from like-minded people who are literally working on the ground and putting so much effort into bringing these wonderful bird stories to life and taking them to local communities who may not otherwise be able to access them. Having these conversations and taking projects like this to a wide audience will only help to open people's eyes to what is available to them if they only look up. I believe that Axel and Ario have embarked on the latest stage of their journey, following migrating birds through Africa, and I'm so excited to follow that journey. And you can too by connecting with them on social media and subscribing to their newsletter. You can find them on Insta and Twitter at Sounding Wild or on www.soundingwild.com. Thanks to all the guests who joined the podcast from Global Bird Fair, and of course another huge thanks to Tim and Penny for letting us come to Bird Fair with the new podcasting stage so that we could bring you these amazing stories. Join me next time where I'll be having another conversation with another nature-loving member of our wildlife community. At the Wildlife Community, our mission is to connect people with nature. We believe that by sharing the work happening on our own patches and beyond the garden gate, we can collectively make a significant impact on the world around us. Whether you're already part of a local community group or have plans to start one, we would love you to get in touch so we can showcase your efforts and connect you with like-minded individuals so we can build a thriving hub of nature lovers who are dedicated to creating a cleaner, greener world starting right on your own doorstep. Together, we'll explore ways to make your space a wild one and provide you with valuable insights and practical tips to encourage biodiversity, protect wildlife, and make a positive difference to your local community. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Wildlife Community Podcast.